Well, good morning. As Jordan has mentioned, I'm usually, when I'm here, sitting down over here with my beautiful wife, and I'm not here all that often because of either work or because of family, and I'm blessed to have the opportunity to share with you this morning. Pastor Grant and Donna are away. We just want to pray a blessing over them as they stop and take a deep breath for the Spirit of God, wherever they're doing today. So, I'm Randy McDonald. I'm the regional manager for Western Canada for Samaritan's Purse and Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. It's a lot. And it's a big job, but I enjoy getting together and telling folks about all that's going on in the ministry these days. I've got this question that I want to ask you this morning, though, as I transition into the message. The title of the message is called, How do we live for God in these blank days? I was at a family reunion a few weeks ago, and we played blank slate. Anybody ever played blank slate? Not too many. Wow. It was my first time with all my nieces and nephews and all the young kids, and they were pretty good at it. And what it is it's this whole game where you have this little blank and then a word, or a word and a blank, and you get to fill it in. And I thought, wow, when I started preparing for this message today, thinking, how do we live for God in blank days? I started to fill in the blank, and every time I pulled up my piece of paper, I came up with a different word. And I started to think to myself, these days are different. So I'm going to risk. I know being a pastor, you risk sometimes, and I'm going to risk. I'm going to ask you, if you were asked the question, to fill in the blank, what would you say? Go ahead, yell it out. There's so many different ways that we can talk about these days. They're not easy. It's not like it's but I like what Pastor Grant said earlier. It's not unprecedented. I mean, these things have happened throughout history. And the key I want to say to you today is that no matter what we're going through or how you want to articulate that blank, chaotic, difficult, whatever the words you were using, it's not a surprise to God. These days are not a surprise to Him. I'm sure He would like them to be different. But they're not a surprise to Him. And you know what? He strategically placed you and me right in the middle of them. So we got to figure out, how do we live for God in these days? How do we live in such a way that reflects the fact that we live in relationship with a loving God? So I've got a passage of Scripture that I want to share with you, because like the song we just sang, I'm sure that most of us, or all of us, would love to live for God full out, 100%. So how are we going to do that? There's a passage of Scripture in Galatians chapter 5. If you have your Bible with you, please open it up. If you don't have yours with you, there's one in front of you. And if you have it on an iPad or a phone, you can use that too. It's a little harder to circle on that. I found it. It makes it big on the screen, but anyways. Galatians chapter 5. Let me read. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with one another, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery,
idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh, which within its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not be conceited, provoking, or envying each other. Let's pray. Lord, this is your word. You've taken painstaking efforts to place it in our hands this morning. You've strategically placed us in these days in which we're finding ourselves living today. No matter how we articulate that blind God, it's not a surprise to you. And you want us to live in it. And we, Lord, want to live 100% full for you. So we need some wisdom. We need some guidance. Would you, Holy Spirit, speak to us this morning? Would you help us to gain a better perspective of how we can live for you today, in these days, and every day you give us? Because we love you. Not because you loved us first. We love you, Father. We ask you to speak to us now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I want to start off with, in this passage of Scripture, I found three principles. There's so many passages of Scriptures when I started to think about how are we going to live for God during these days. And Jordan read that one for me. But I came to this one when I was reading through Galatians, and I thought, this one just kind of makes your heart skip a little bit. Have you ever had that happen when you're reading through the Word and it just, oh, there's something that kind of jolts you? And it jolted me, and I came up with three principles that I think are key, because I have to admit, when I talk to people, a lot of people are struggling these days. A lot of people are confused and disoriented and trying to figure out what's going on and how do we live. And I felt the same way. I'm no different. I don't have it all figured out yet. So when I came to this passage, it's like the Lord was speaking to me and he jolted my heart and says, Randy, this is something for you. You need to learn how to do this. If you want to live for me in this culture, the ways that you're living today. So there's three principles that I've come up with that are for me, and I'm praying that along the journey you might be able to associate with some of it. If not, it was just for me. The first passage comes, the first point is, serve one another humbly in love. I don't know. Again, if you don't have your own Bible, take the one in front of you and circle it. That is one of those circleable moments. Serve one another humbly. That's a lot. I mean, that's a whole message in and of itself. Serve one another humbly in love. We're going to deal with the love part in a minute. But I want to talk to you a little bit about how do we serve one another humbly. When I started to think about this, I asked myself the question, well, when have you been served? Think about the last time you've been served and it really blessed the socks off you. When you felt like, wow, I really felt something different. That I was served. What is the end result? Why does it make you feel so good? Coffee this morning. But when you're thinking about it, what makes it feel so good when somebody goes out of their way to serve you? You know what? I started to think about that question and it came back to me as, well, Randy, they're sacrificing their stuff for your stuff. You know, when I feel served, I'm blessed because I understand that that person has gone out of their way to stop thinking about themselves and they're serving me. Sometimes they get paid for it, but most times they don't. And so when you're serving somebody humbly, it's wow, that you really must care. And don't we all crave that? Like, don't you crave it? You'd say, bring on the serve, Lord. Bring on. I mean, I'd love to get served all the time. How do you understand that being served? We love to do it. I was thinking about this, and a few months ago, about 4 months ago, I got a new knee. And I was struggling to get around. The first 10 or 12 weeks are pretty, if you've ever had it, you know, it's struggle. And somebody dropped by with cinnamon buns. That's what I'm talking about. Then they brought some soup. Somebody even dropped off some pie. I'm thinking, well, round is a shape. Sheila doesn't think it's a good shape, but it's a shape. But you know what? I started thinking about that when I was thinking about somebody serving. That was somebody serving me, because in the midst of their ordinary life, in the midst of the chaotic living that they're in the midst of, whatever you filled in that blank, they were thinking about somebody other than themselves. And they came and they served me, and it was such a blessing to get. Oh, you know the next question, though, right? When was the last time you did that? When was the last time you were interrupted in the midst of whatever you were going through in that day? And the Holy Spirit just kind of tweaks your heart a bit. I just got a text a few seconds ago from my mentor. He knows I'm preaching this morning and asked them to pray. So he sends me this text just while I'm sitting down listening to music. And he just serves me. He says, I know what it's like, Randy. And I know you're right. When was the last time you served somebody like that? Just in the midst of the day, when you made that phone call, or you dropped off whatever it is, and you served somebody. You see, there's an example of this in the scripture, and I brought by a few things to help me illustrate this. You know, when somebody comes and serves, the picture I have in my mind is the white towel, usually a tuxedo. I've never been to any of those places, but it comes to mind. It must have been a TV show or something, right? But it's just that white towel. It's somebody who is humbly sacrificing their own life for you to feel good and to be enjoyed and to know that you are making an impact. So they come and serve. And they say, how do we do that? You see, the great example that I have comes from John. You see, this didn't happen in the 20th century or the 18th century. You know when this happened? John chapter 13. And Jesus was lying down having supper with his friends. And he took a towel. And he placed it around his waist. And he washed their feet. You know the story? John 13. The disciples were having the Last Supper. And at the end of it, Jesus goes to them and says, if you want to understand anything in this kingdom, you need to learn how to serve each other. So Jesus, the Son of the Creator of the universe, our Savior, came and wrapped a towel around his waist. And he walked up each disciple. And I don't know about you, but I know Carol, she's the foot girl, right? Like, she did the foot nurse, and that's kind of gross, actually. But can you imagine it being with the disciples, walking along, and all the dirt, and, yeah, I mean, you know, it's like a sandal feet through the summer. And Jesus kneels down and he washes them. He says, if you want to learn anything about leading in this culture, in this city, in this kingdom, you need to learn how to lead and to serve other people. And you think, oh, well, that's easy, Randy, because you know what happened. These were the Jesus' disciples. They were easy because they were really all friends and all that kind of stuff, right? Yeah, well, what about Judas? Judas was there. You see, it's easy sometimes for us to do that within the church. It's easy for us to say, oh, well, let's help out our Christian friends and brothers and sisters. But what about the Judases in your life? How can you live in these days
there's a lot of Judases. There's a lot of people that are different than us. And Paul's giving this church in Galatians the idea of what it means to serve. I love what Chuck Swindoll says about this book in Galatians. He says, Paul's letter speaks wisdom and clarity into the real controversy that's plaguing the church in its early years. I'd like to change that and say, it's plaguing the church. The relationship between Christian Jews and Christian Gentiles, Paul's aggressive tone, shows how important it was for him that the people embrace unity no matter what their racial distinctions. Ouch. You see, if we're going to learn to live for God during these days, hopefully we will heed this understanding. We ought not just serve those who are like us. We have to be able to serve those that are different than us. Really, in the church, that's our mantra. How do we do that outside the church, at work, in your neighborhood, with your friends, with your family members, with those who are brought to us? How do we live for God and do that? The best way is to serve them. There's nothing like being served. You know what it's like. When you get served, it's a blessing, and it fills up your heart. Wouldn't that be kind of cool if we spend a lot more time serving one another, wrapping the towel around our waist or over our arm, however you so choose to do it, and say, you know what, God? No matter what these conditions are that we're living in, I want to serve you. I want to serve those people because that's what you would do. You serve the people that you came in contact with. There's a great passage of scripture that puts this into place for me. Philippians chapter 2, 1 and 4. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if you have any comfort from his love, if you have any common sharing in his spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. Then do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Not looking for your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Again, you think that might make impact? If we started to walk around and not had a towel around our arm or around our waist, but we started to just serve people. And whenever we have those understandings in our mind that, you know, let's just act on them and do and go and be and be involved. And there's lots of creative things. We were just talking about the school. Wouldn't it be kind of neat if you don't live near this church and you live in an area that's a little further away and there's a school just around the corner from you? Why don't you take school supplies there? Why don't you just go there and drop off some stuff and get to know the principal and some teachers and serve them? And there's lots of opportunities. There's lots of opportunities everywhere to serve. So how do you live for God in these days? Key principle number one is serve one another. Humbly. The second one is this idea of love. Love your neighbor as yourself. We just sang about this. How we get to love our neighbors as ourselves. The question I have in this, when I started thinking about this whole thing, is how do I love my neighbor as myself? There's a fundamental question that Paul was talking to in the Galatian church that I think is really reflective of our times and in my life. Do I really love myself? Do you really love yourself? I mean, really, not the fake kind of real, but the really kind of when you're looking in the mirror and you wake up in the morning and you say, wow. I didn't say that this morning.
But you understand what I'm saying, is that you can't love your neighbor if you don't love yourself. But yet many of us try. Do you know what that's like? That's California. Have you ever had anybody love you, try to love you, when it was phony? Pretty easy to detect, isn't it? Because they want something. They want something back. And what this kind of love is talking about is a selfless love, where we love our neighbor as ourselves. You know, I have to admit, when I was going through this last week, I had many opportunities to rethink this position and change this passage right here. Because there's lots of times I have to admit, I don't love myself. I don't believe that God did the work that he did when I bowed down and said, God, would you forgive me of my sins and would you heal me so that I can live a new life with the, you know, the east and the west stuff? Where God says, I'm going to forgive your sins as far as the east is from the west. I love you, Randy. But do we really, really believe it? I'm sure there's times when we believe it more than others, but if we're going to learn to live in these days, and we're going to learn to love other people, we need to get a firm grasp on this ourselves. And the best way I think of doing that is by changing my perspective. Don't laugh at me. You laugh. Wow, you look really different. You look really funky, right? Okay, I can keep them on. A new perspective. I have to reprogram my hard drive to see my life through the vision of God. What does God see when he looks at Randy McDonald? And when I can get a good grip on that, you know what happens? I can do that to other people. Other people that don't look like me, don't think like me, don't dress like me, don't worship like me, don't smell like me. And you can get a good perspective on how you can move into their life and live during these days with a sense of extra joy and jump in your steps when you start to grip, first of all, God has changed your life and he wants to change the life of other people. And what's the most intriguing thing in my life? I want to know that I'm valued and I make a difference. And when God looks at you and when he looks at me, he says, Randy, you're a beloved son of the Most High God. I took painstaking efforts to go to the cross so you can seek forgiveness, and you've come there, and Satan likes to beat you up and take this stuff all away, but you're free. Do you think that might not be a message that the people outside the doors of this church might need to hear? I'm crazy enough to believe there's people inside this church that need to hear that. But God loves you. He wants you to learn how to love other people, not out of your own stuff, but out of how he sees them. So when you want to walk around and you say, well, how do you do this? Well, you don't get a funky pair of red glasses like this, although you might. You know those ones? I was trying to find one of those ones with the big nose on it, but anyways. You walk around and you say, God, I'm strategically putting these glasses on today. First of all, to help me understand how much you love me. No matter how messed up I've been, or what I've done, or where I've been, you have forgiven me. You are the author of forgiveness and grace and mercy in my life. And that's no different than anybody else. You see, what happens in these moments, when you're able to move towards each other and love one another without wanting anything back, but just loving them and accepting them, we don't get so any more of that big divisions that we're talking about. It says here in the second part of that passage, it says, if we bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. There's a lot of that going around these days. There's a lot of biting and pushing our agenda and aggressively telling people what we think, all this kind of stuff that's going on, especially now in these days. And God says, I want them to know my love.
I don't want them to know how you think about this. I want you to show them what I think about this. So that you can go to them and you can say, wow, how much does God love all of us? There's a great passage. There's a couple of hymns that come right to mind when I think about this. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. Vast, unending. I love that song. The other one? The love of God. How rich and pure. How measureless. What some great theology in him that really reveals to us that we were all once in that same spot where we needed forgiveness. And he says to us, come and understand my love for you. Ephesians talks about it really well. Ephesians 3:14-19 says, for this very reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that his glorious riches may be strengthened, that may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that you, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in my love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ, and to the knowledge of, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. When we start to get that perspective and we share that with other people, say, do you realize how much potential is wrapped up in your life? Isn't that what happened when you started to live for God and somebody said, wow, you know, Randy, there's so much in there. And I'm looking at him like a deer in the headlights. I don't see it. People want to be able to have somebody believe in them and see something that they don't see. And we get the greatest joy of all to slowly put these glasses and let them see. Amazing things start to happen when we're able to help others see the love of God. And it helps us. But right now, it's just so much judging, condemning. Everybody's doing what's their own for themselves. You see, I'm convinced that people don't need that. Did you do that? You need somebody to look inside you. So there's something worthwhile in that. And you, God is in love with you. And no matter what you've done, where you've been, he wants to bring out the glory in you. You see, these are unique opportunities that we talk about at this church where we can go out and be the ministry of presence in the city. When we go and not only serve one another humbly, but we actually do it because we don't want anything back. We just want them to see what Jesus sees. And he loves them. The last key that I want to talk about today is that we need to walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit in verse 16. I remember a time I was in a Promise Keeper event years ago, and it stuck in my mind so vividly. They had a platform that was huge, and they sent out some of these young men with blindfolds on to walk across this stage that was sabotaged by a whole bunch of different temptations and things. And it didn't take long, right, for them to get in there and just fall flat on their face. And then they brought out the dads. And the dads were not blindfolded. But they helped the child put their hands on their shoulder and navigated them through the whole mess of life so that they did not fall into the temptation and the mess that we often find ourselves in. That passage, or that illustration, stuck with me so much. Because in this passage, it talks about you 5 times. I don't know about you, but when I tried to do life by me, I messed it up. I remember a time laying down late at night, all by myself, and looking up and saying, you know what, God? If you're real, I've done a masterful job of messing up my life. I've done a masterful job because I did me. Now there's a famous saying out there, just do you. What's that going for? See, for me, when I did me, I messed it up a lot. It says in the scripture that if we're going to learn to live in these days, we need to learn to live and walk with the Spirit. So, I told you I already had some surgery. I was going to bring up a crutch or a cane, but I thought, no, that's too crazy because that's too humble. I was here 3 times when I had my surgery. I had crutches and just humble. Nobody seen me with the water. It's random. It's not true. But there's a time in your life when you come to the place where you say, I need a little bit of help. Do you need to stop doing you? So we get a walking stick. Normally there's 2 of these. When I go for a walk, I take this with me now. Because I need a little bit of help. I'm still working out my knee. And even before I had my knee replaced, I needed it because I needed to have a little bit of help to take some of the pain off of the joint and all that good stuff. I think we all need that. We all need to be able to have a little bit of help, but it's a hard place to get to, isn't it? Saying, I need to have some help. And if we don't, and we just do us, Paul gives us a list. I read them for you. Of what happens when our flesh is left to its own accord, right? Not good stuff. I don't know about you, but it's not good stuff. When I do me, the equation in my mind is not good stuff. But when I do Spirit, great things happen. And it talks about this battle between the flesh and the Spirit, and it's going to be in our life as long as we're sucking air in our lungs. We're going to have a battle between the Spirit and the flesh. So we need help. We have a walking stick. Walk by the Spirit. You say, well, how do I do that? How do I do that walking by the Spirit? Well, again, it comes in various different ways. You can do it as you go through life. My suggestion is you read through the scriptures. The Lord gives us lots of opportunity in here to understand how do we walk. Like I could have given several different passages of scriptures to help understand how we walk during these days. But there's so much in there. Read through the scriptures. But the Holy Spirit is in every one of us. If you've bowed down and said, God, I want you to come into my life and surrender my life, and I want you to live. I want to live for you. The Holy Spirit comes into our life, and He's there, and He's available to us. He's able to help us. The problem is, many of us just leave it like this. The Holy Spirit's there, taking up space in our life, but yet the Holy Spirit says, "Leave me. Why don't you release me?" Add some fizz, but there's not a piece of that water that's not affected by the Spirit's guidance and leading. Do you allow the Holy Spirit to be released in your life to say, wow, I'm scared, I need some help, I'm going to walk with you, God. I'd say that even in my own life, my biggest thing is, Carol did a good job of teaching us this last week, if it's the right motives, right? If it's biblical and you get a thought and it scares the life out of you, walk with the Spirit towards it. Don't run away from it. Walk to the Spirit, with the Spirit, towards it. And it says, like Jordan read this at the beginning, Romans 12. All God wants is to take our everyday, ordinary life. He's given us the Holy Spirit to help. You know, people will say, how does God speak to you? How does the Holy Spirit speak to you? It's going to be different for each one of us. But it's not going to make a big difference if we don't release him to take up all aspects of our life. And when you're going about your everyday, ordinary life, things will happen. You see, this is all reversed because it starts with the first part is, needs to start with walking with the Spirit. The second part is seeing how God sees us so we can see others, and then we can go and serve them. We can't go out and serve people or tell them about each other's love if we don't have the power of the Spirit. Because you know why? You'll be doing you. And that's not going to shine glory unto God. So I want to end with the results of this. There's a passage that at the very end, many of us are familiar with. It says this in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there are no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh. Remember that battle between the flesh and the Spirit? We have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So my challenge today for myself and for you, do you really want to live for God in these whatever blank days we're living in? If you do, grab a walking stick and take the Holy Spirit on every part of your daily life. Release Him to invade every part of your thoughts, mind, everything. Then start seeing others the way God sees them. And when you get an opportunity, serve them. Not wanting anything in return, just serve them. And you know what happens? The fruit of the Spirit. Notice it's fruit, singular. It's a fruit salad. You can't just say, I like peaches today and a blueberry today. It's amazing how as we live this out, the fruit of the Spirit is more and more evident in our life. Because we're sacrificing ourselves and living for God. I want to pray for you. I'm praying that some of you may be here and you need to go to here. Let's pray. Father God, thank you, first of all, that you've strategically placed us in these days in which we're living today. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you served us with the greatest sacrifice of all by sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the atonement for our sin. Thank you that you've given us the Holy Spirit that is in each one of us that have accepted you and asked for forgiveness and grace to live our lives. But right now, God, I just ask that you would give us a little bit of a check to see if we've really released your Spirit free in our lives so that we can make a difference in our culture. Not because you want any glory, but because we want you to have glory. So I'm praying for those who haven't yet accepted you. Maybe there's somebody here that has not accepted Christ and they need to bow down and say, yes, God, I am sorry. As far as the east is from the west, I want my sins removed from me. I want to start a new day today. And if that's you, you pray that and God is going to forgive you. You got a new day. And you receive the Holy Spirit. Now rip the Holy Spirit up and let Him release into all aspects of your life. God, we need your help. We ask you to give us strength. Now in every day that we listen.